You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Boy, I'm excited about the word. I'm excited about what I want to share with you. I want to, as we always do, welcome all of those podcast listeners. My goodness, and I need to thank our podcast listeners. We have gotten money that's been sent into this ministry. We've gotten Christmas cards. We've gotten notes of just appreciation from all over the country. And I want to take just a minute to thank all of those podcast listeners that join us faithfully each and every week. We welcome you to our service today, and we're praying God's blessings on you. Well, here we are. The Christmas celebration of Jesus' birthday is over. And man, what a great celebration we've had. We've celebrated Christmas. And I begin to think about the fact that every Christmas play ends with a baby in a manger. The shepherds are there. The wise men are there. That nativity scene, and we've seen countless of these plays. For those big-time productions like we just put on, we had a live donkey at our nativity scene, live cow, we had goats. We even had a goat that's up in the manger with Jesus eating the hay. So we've had live animals at our nativity scene as all are standing around looking with amazement into the manger, and the curtain closes, the applause begin, and all the Christmas plays end the same, and folks come out and take a bow. The title of today's message are the days right after Christmas. The days right after Christmas. I guess personally we all have our pet peeves and things that we have a problem with. And I have, my whole life, I've had a problem with fairy tales. I've got a real problem with them. I just have a real problem with them. I have a problem with my kids watching fairy tales. All fairy tales have the struggle in life. I don't know, she is a poor peasant, he's a wealthy prince, and boy, their parents are not allowing each other, them to get together. And the struggle is them, the whole fairy tale is the struggle of them getting together. And the fairy tales, they all end with they got together and they got married. And the curtain closes, everybody help me. And they lived happily ever after. Where is that? Because I've been looking for that place for a long, long time. That's a big fat lie. That is deceptiveness to a generation of people. Here, let me tell you what happened. She got pregnant and her ankle swole up. That's what happened. And while she was there with her feet swollen so big she couldn't put her shoes on, he went fishing. That's what happened. I'm telling you what happened. That happily ever after stuff. Here's what happened. She went to the movies with all of her friends, and he had to stay home and babysit. That ain't happily ever after. She went shopping with her friends and spent the money that they were going to spend on the rent. That's not happily ever after. Their conversation about her money spending wasn't happy. Come on, lived happily ever after? Seriously? Seriously? Here's the problem with fairy tales. When trouble comes, and it always does, we think something is wrong. See, that is the deception, and that is the lie, and that is the mindset that we have. When you have marital problems, then something is wrong. Why? Because it is supposed to be, help me out, happily ever after. And when it's not happily ever after, clearly I married the wrong one. See, clearly you are a jerk because I am not happily ever after. See, that these fairy tales lead us to believe something that just is, it's not the truth. That this is not in the script. This is not what should have happened. And when we have financial problems, or we have a business difficulty, or we have a sickness, or we have a misunderstanding, or we have a whatever, all of that is wrong because I am supposed to be happily ever after. You can't tell a dating couple nothing. Not nothing. It's happily if they can just finally get married. These stories have the reader, have the moviegoer, have the Broadway show goer coming up with a very wrong conclusion. And in the same way, we could be left with the wrong conclusion the days after Christmas. Because all of the wise men, the shepherds, the donkeys, and the goats, and everybody, they were all there, and it was peaceful and calm, and all staring at the baby in a manger, and the curtain closes. The title of today's message is The Days After Christmas. I want to pick up right where we left off. Matthew chapter 2. 9, 10, and 11 is where we left off. They opened their treasure gifts and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the end of the story. Look at verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. Boy, that's never in a Christmas play. We don't have an angel coming down out of the attic in the Christmas play and saying, run for your life! I'm trying to kill him! We don't ever have an angel say that. We've all got nativity scenes in our homes, in our yards, and no one has a scene of Mary and Joseph holding the baby running for their life. We don't have that on our mantle. We don't have the title, there is a search party sent out to kill Jesus. We don't have that on a t-shirt. Mary and Joseph in the middle of the night running for their lives. That is the very next scene. That is the very next scene. This is right after the curtain closes and all the actors are bowing and everybody's applauding. Here's what I want you to get. They don't have no choice. This is not what they planned. This is not what they wanted to do. Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the stars of the play, are now refugees in Egypt. I want you to just think. I think about stuff like this. I guess maybe I'm weird, but I just think about this. Think about this. There ain't no family in Egypt. They have no family in Egypt. They have no support in Egypt. There are no wise men in Egypt visiting them. There are no shepherds coming and visiting them. There are no presents being brought to them in Egypt. They are all alone in the midst of a most difficult time in their life. I think about this. I read that and I think, will Joseph find work? Will Joseph find a job? Where will we sleep? Where will we eat? What will happen to my baby? Will Joseph be able to find a job here? Think about this. Little Mary, will I ever see my family again? Will I ever see my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins? You got to think about this, church. Mary is thinking, will I ever see any of my family ever again? There's a bounty on their promised son. Will I live in hiding my whole life? What will happen to us? The excitement, the worship in Bethlehem immediately turns to worry, uncertainty, fear. You know, we read these two verses here real quick. They don't take us 2 seconds to read those two verses. But now, how long did it take Herod to die? How many years was that? Let me tell you what Mary's saying. Let me tell you what Joseph is thinking. God, where are you? Let me tell you what they're thinking. God, you said God, you told me I did exactly what God told me to do. I went through the ridicule that I went through. I went through the misunderstandings that I went through. I got family members that don't even believe that I'm a virgin. I did all of this. I went through, and now look at what you've done to me, God. Look at where I am. This is not what we planned. This is not what I was led to believe. God, if there really even is a God, and I'm not even sure there is a God, well, where are you now? Why did you, God, let this happen to us? That's exactly where we find ourselves. That's exactly where we find our great things have happened for you in your life. You have had an encounter and an experience with the Lord in your life, and just like that, you're in the midst of a crisis. The point of today's message is this is just real life. The point of today's message is real life happens, and it happened to Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the stars of the Christmas play. You know, 1 Peter tells us, think it not a strange thing that you're going through difficult times. This is life, and this is life for all of us. And you are wrong when you think that you're going to get saved, you're going to go to church, and nothing bad's going to happen to you, and you are going to live happily ever after. The curtain is going to close after your wedding. They're going to throw some rice on you, and you're going to live happily ever after. You're wrong. When you hear God speak to you, and you do what God has laid on your heart to do, and you think because you did that, nothing bad will ever happen to you because you're following God. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Underline this verse. Make a refrigerator magnet with this verse. Put this verse on a t-shirt. I'm going to tell you why we don't. We don't because we don't want to think about that. We don't because we don't want to deal with that. We don't because we don't want to admit that or recognize that or embrace that. But church, this is life, and it is life for every one of us. Now, there's a couple of points to today's message. First point, tough times, uncertainties, fears, worries happen for everybody. But the second point that I want to talk to you about is that God did not abandon Mary and Joseph while they were in Egypt. In fact, God sent them to Egypt to protect them. I want you to see this. This is key. God sent them to Egypt to protect them. Verse 19. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now get up, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. You know, often you feel abandoned in Egypt. Often you feel like, where is God? God, if you're really even is a God, I don't even know now anymore if there really is a God. I don't even know if God really is real. I think this is all a hoax. God, where are you? If there really is a God, you feel abandoned when you're in those times. You start questioning God in those times. Here's the deal, church. Life has been good for you. Gifts from the wise men, shepherds coming, stars hanging over you. We've all had good times. You've been right there. Wedding showers, gifts, wedding day, baby showers, opening gifts. Man, life's good. You're in high school. You're the MVP of the tournament. Life is good. And in one moment, you're in Egypt. What happened to me? Where are you, God? God, are you even there? Are you really even real? Why'd you let this happen? Come on. Everybody in here knows what Egypt feels like. Terry and I have been watching a lot of bowl games, football bowl games. And I've just been consumed with this thought. All the pomp, all the circumstance, the players running out of the tunnel, big haze machine, tens of thousands of cheering fans, national TV, cheerleaders, hardly any clothes on, waving their pom-poms, and they're running down the lane in between all these cheerleaders. I don't know what, 50, 60 players on a team, both teams together, 120 players out there. I mean, those guys, here's what gets me. They can't even get their own self something to drink. They're so high and mighty. Somebody's got to take a water bottle and squirt them something down their throat because they're just too big to get their own something to drink. They just stand there and somebody's got to squirt it down their throat. Hey, here's what gets me. Big old guy, 300 pounds, he gets hit a little hard. He can't even walk off the field by himself. We got a little guy, and then we got a girl. Now, I like the girls out there. They weigh about 90 pounds. This guy's 300, and they put their arm, and they get him by the back, and they're helping this guy off. I was watching them last night. This girl's about right here. He'd never made it without her helping him off of that field. He can't even walk his own dumb self off the field. He's got to have these two people helping him off of the field, and somebody squirting some water in his mouth. And now, I'm just going to say maybe one or two of those players is going to play on Sunday. I don't know, maybe one or two of those players are going to play in the NFL. But all the rest of those seniors are going to wake up the day after that bowl game with no water bottle, with no cheerleader, and nobody doing their laundry anymore, nobody wanting an interview. And all I can think about watching those bowl games is every one of those guys are about to wake up tomorrow in Egypt. How will they make it through their Egyptian experience? How will they make it through that experience? Because every one of those seniors are going to wake up tomorrow and nobody cares nothing about you. You're not the star of the play, and nobody's bringing you a water bottle. You got to get your own lazy self off the field. I think about it all the time. In love, dating couples, dreaming of marriage. I like all the little girls. 12, 13, 14. They spend 10 years looking at wedding dresses, trying to pick out their wedding dress. Not one of them is looking at a magazine on the amount of rent or what the electric bills are in the county that they live in. Not one of them. But boy, they're looking at that wedding dress. And for 10 years, we talk about what kind of wedding dress we're going to get. And the day after rice is thrown on you and the party's over, you wake up and you are in Egypt. You know what I'm talking about. I think about all the pregnant moms. Oh, you're so excited. They're fixing up nurseries and they're decorating and they're painting and I'm, oh my, they've been, for months they've been working on their nursery. And the day after you come home, all the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all the wise men, all the shepherds, they're gone and you're in Egypt with this kid. That's where you are. You know, the problem is this is not unusual. This is not a strange thing. We just don't read it. We just don't read verse 13 and 14. And if we do, we glance quickly over it. We don't do movies about verse 13 and 14. We don't do Christmas plays about it. No one can tell a dating couple what they're facing. Nobody can tell a pregnant mom about what they're facing. But church, here's what I want you to know today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 is followed by verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. I want you to know those verses follow verse 11. All of our focus is on painting and getting the baby's room and the nursery ready. I've never been to a pregnant mom's house where she says, I want you to come and see. Here is the rocking chair and here's a stack of rags I have ready to wipe the vomit off of me from a colicking baby. Now, I've never seen a mom all excited about the rags that she's going to wipe all that off of her, that every time I feed this baby a bottle, it's going to come right back up. It's going to run all over me. I can still smell that smell in our house. I still smell it. It's right here in my nose right now. And nobody has a stack of rags for that, but we got the baby's room all decorated. Our baby's coming home. You going to Egypt? Times in Egypt for all of us. But here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see today is that those times in Egypt are the times in your life when God is doing the greatest work. You think about, had God not had Mary and Joseph in Egypt, his plan of salvation for the world would have been snuffed out. All of the pomp and the circumstance of the Christmas play, all of what Jesus came to this earth to accomplish, all hinged on a successful trip in and then back out of Egypt. I think about what Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, had to deal with on her inside. When she saw her son being spit on, being kicked, being tortured, being lied about, being abused, what she had to reach inside and get a hold of when she saw her son being crucified, nailed on that cross. She didn't get that fortitude with the wise man bringing presents. She got that fortitude when she was living in Egypt, trusting God for their very next step. It's God seeing you through those times in your life when you are in Egypt that will empower you and will enable you to get through what He's got for you in your future. Today, some of you are here with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a great sense of loss, a lot of questions, and a lot of unanswered, God, what has happened to me? Could it be that God is protecting you? Could it be that God protected you in a way that you could never understand? Could it be that God is preparing you? Could it be that God is training you? I get it. It doesn't make sense what's happened to you. I get it. This is not what you planned. I understand this is not what you wanted. But could it be that God is at work here doing something much, much bigger than you could possibly wrap your mind around? Mary and Joseph, now in Egypt, had to hold on to what God had said to them. It's called living by faith and trusting God. There is no living by faith when the wise men are bringing you presents. There is no living by faith when there's a star hanging over your head and people are writing songs about it. There is no living by faith in those times. It's when you're in Egypt that you live by faith. I want you to know today, there will be times in your life. There will be times. Shepherds come, wise men come visiting, stars are hanging over you, all are applauding you. There will be times like that, and I love every second of them. And there will be days after Christmas when you're in Egypt, and that's life. Through the good times, through the fun times, and through the hard times, through the tough times, you live by faith and you live on what God's word is to you. Here's what I want you to know. God is at work in Bethlehem, and God is at work in Egypt as well. I don't like to do this, but sometimes I do. This is just purely speculation on my part, because there is nothing in the Bible about this. But I want you to follow my train of thought, because I think it's a good one. I think it's a good one. I've looked and I've looked and I've looked, and there's nothing said about what did Mary and Joseph do with those gifts. I think about things like this. I'm all excited. And they brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, it was a great play. What did they do with them? See, I want to know what to do with them. What did they do with those gifts? Those gifts were very expensive gifts. We're talking a lot of money here. We're talking a lot of money when you're talking about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I've studied about what those three things are. I studied about what they did, and I studied about the cost of them, and we're talking a lot of money. Just a thought. Could it be that that is what Joseph used to sustain his family in those days, weeks, and years in Egypt? Could it be that those three gifts were what Joseph sustained his family on for the entire time he was in Egypt? God, in our times of joy, will bring us what we need to sustain us through our tough times in life. All the gifts that you received, all the sermons that you have heard, all the Bible study that you have done, when times are good, are pretty insignificant. You come in here, you hear a sermon, oh, that was good, and you leave and go home, and you come back and hear another sermon, oh, that was good, and you leave and go home, and it's just pretty much okay because life is pretty much okay with you. Let me just tell you, the sermons you hear when life is okay are not meant for the day when life is okay. The sermons you hear when life is okay are for you to go back, and draw on in those times of your life when you find yourself running and fighting for your very life. It'll sustain you through your times in Egypt. I want you to just think about it. Why did God give those gifts? It wasn't so that we could have three more parts for boys in the Christmas play. Why did he give those gifts? It wasn't just to take up three more positions because we got to give everybody in the elementary class a role in the Christmas play. So we came up with something for them to do. Why did he give those gifts? See, here's the problem. Too often when we're in Egypt, we don't use the gifts that we've been given to get us through those difficult times in our life. We don't draw on them and we don't call on those gifts. Today you've come here and maybe you're drying up. Maybe you're lonely today. Maybe you're miserable. Maybe today is a day for you that you truly are in Egypt. Maybe that's where you are finding yourself. Here's what I want you to know. In your saddlebags, you'll find what you need to get you through this time in your life. God sees to it that you have all you need to get through those difficult times in your life. That didn't catch God off guard that now they jumped up and went to Egypt. God didn't take them quickly to Egypt for them to starve to death, for them to wither and die, for them to drown in their loneliness and their misery. God didn't take them to Egypt for them to die down there. But in the good times, you don't realize it in the good times, but God is giving you, he's supplying you. And in your saddlebags, you will find what you need to get you through this time in Egypt, because God saw this time in Egypt a long time before you did. God saw your difficulty. God saw your loneliness. God saw your hurt. And God saw your pain. And you don't realize it today, but you have inside you what you need to get through this hard time in life. Today, right now, if there is no star shining over your stable, I want you to dig deep and I want you to pull out your gifts. In the good times, in the high times, you've been given gifts. The key to fulfilling God's plan was not that Joseph stayed connected to God when the angels was there and the star was shining and the wise men were bringing presents. Everybody can stay connected to God then. The key to the fulfillment of God's plan was that Joseph stayed connected to God and followed God all the way through and out the other side of Egypt. That's how God's plan for man was fulfilled. Verse 16, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through a prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. A crisis was going on that could have killed God's plan. And Joseph absolutely was in a bad place. Joseph was in a horrible position, but he was being protected by God from what could have what you could have had to endure, what you could have had to live through, what you could have gone through. I get it. You don't understand it. I get it. You can't explain why. But here's what I'm telling you. God could be protecting you. God could be teaching you, training you, and conditioning you, and getting you ready. Think about it. I've been thinking about this, watching these bowl games on TV. I've been thinking about all of the locker room pregame talks. I've been thinking about all the motivational speeches that are second to none at halftime. I've been thinking about them. Come on, have grit, don't quit, play tough, persevere, winners don't quit, winners don't quit, winners stay working with. Think about all that these players have heard. Here's what they don't know. That talk is pretty insignificant. You're going to play good. There's 100,000 people out there screaming for you. There's national TV with a camera right in your face. You're going to stay tough. Let me tell you what. After graduation, when you're by yourself and you're in Egypt, that's when you're going to need to go out to your saddlebag and get all of those locker room talks. All those things that those coaches told you, all of those motivational speeches, whenever you get into business, when you get kids and you get a family and you start trying to pay bills, that's when you're going to have to go back. Because in the high times, in the good times, in the rah-rah times, God is giving you what you're going to need to get you through what He knows you're going to go through. All the sermons you've heard. Week in and week out and week in and week out when life is good. Here's what I'm telling you. When you're fighting for your life, that's the time you reach in and pull those sermons back out. I don't know for sure. We don't read about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh anymore. Very expensive gifts given. That's just my thought. Joseph sustained his family. He held his life together with what was in his saddlebag when he was in Egypt. And I want you to think about that with me. It's the days right after Christmas when people lose it. We do good in the days when everybody's patting us on the back and cheering for us and we're opening presents and it's a great time. But it's the days right after that when people can't stand it, when they can't take it. Nobody has a marital problem during the wedding ceremony. Nobody has a marital problem during the reception. We're cutting cake and we're laughing and we're giving high fives and we're opening presents and that's a good time. It's the day right after that that you can't walk through. You just can't let the times of your life that you're in Egypt keep you from staying obedient to God and hearing His next word of direction for you. Christmas Day was a lot of fun. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. But right now, it's 5 days after Christmas. That's where we are today. I want you to live empowered. I want you to live enabled by the gift that God has given you. On Christmas Day, we opened up a gift. We opened up a gift. A gift of salvation. A gift of forgiveness. A gift of healing. A gift of restoration. A gift of new life, a new beginning. On Christmas Day, we opened up that gift, and it's in your saddlebag. Now, 5 days after Christmas, we're beginning to face some difficulty in our life. We're beginning to face some hard times. Here's what I'm telling you. Go out there, get in your saddlebag, and you pull out what God gave you at the Christmas party, and you use it to sustain your life. So that you come out on the other side, fulfilling God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. Y'all stand with me. God, today we're just so grateful for the gift that we have opened, the gift that we received, the gift that we have in our possession. And now, Lord, in those difficult days of our life, we don't forget your provisions for us. But God, we stand on them and we use them to sustain us through difficult days. God, direct us and guide us as we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.